Hi, I'm Heather from Missouri, and I'm a Rethi partner. One reason I support this ministry is because I know that the seed I'm planting is being used by the Lord in my life personally and to multiply His kingdom all around the world. Enjoy today's episode of Revive Our Hearts.
Hey, Justin, can you pull up some quiet, slow music? No, that's kind of cheesy. Do we have anything peaceful and calm? You'll see why in a minute. Ah, nice. I think that'll go well with this reminder from Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth.
Hurry is not conducive to godliness, to relationships, to a healthy marriage, to spiritual growth. Godliness and intimacy are not cultivated on the run. They require time, lingering, meditation, focused attention.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of Dwell. For October 20th, 2025, I'm Dana Gresh. This month, we're focusing on the topic of a daily devotional life. The habits we cultivate, the things we prioritize day in and day out, these can either be life-giving or draining. They can either nourish our souls or leave us starving. In this series, Nancy helps us adore our Good Shepherd who renews and restores our life. There's no better habit than spending time with Him. Now, Nancy gave this message to the Revive Our Hearts ambassadors. They had gathered in a retreat setting for a time of training and some spiritual refreshment. Now, it was still during the COVID-19 pandemic, so you can picture a room with chairs spaced out for appropriate social distancing. Remember that term? Mm-hmm. And people wearing masks. So here's Nancy.
Let me ask you to open your Bible or scroll in your Bible. And if you have a CSB with you, you may want to follow along in that, but whatever translation. We're going to look at a really familiar passage and just a little part of that familiar passage. But think about this past year or so. All the stress and strain and changes and restrictions. And somebody was telling me tonight, Mariana was telling me that in Mexico City, they have a traffic light system, and if it's red, you can't come out. They just moved it to yellow a couple of weeks ago, so there's been, you think we'd all be just really refreshed from all this time at home, but people are tired. And there's been a weariness, not just a physical weariness. Robert and I love the fact that we haven't had to travel in the last year. But there's a weariness of soul, there's a weariness of mind, there's a weariness, a mental and emotional weariness that has come for many reasons. One is all the screaming and yelling in social media and people so polarized over so many topics, and that's exhausting. But also figuring out how to do ministry in new ways than what we're accustomed to. That's tiring. So there may be that there are things going on in your life that have been cancer, or a new child, or a new grandchild, or a new set of circumstances, or new stress in your marriage, new stress in your church. I read recently that 50% of pastors are seriously considering getting out of the ministry. Part of it is because they're tired. They're tired of people being mad at them. No matter what they say, you're going to take it from one side or the other. And we hear some of this at Revive Our Hearts. If we do address this subject, some people are mad. If we don't address this subject, other people are mad. And it's exhausting. It's wearying. So I want to speak to weary hearts tonight, yours and mine. Now, you've been here retreating for the last few days, so you were probably really weary when you got here. But now your cup's been filled, you've had time to pray, to relax, you've been in this beautiful setting, you've been kayaking across the lake, and you're feeling pretty refreshed and replenished. But tomorrow, you go back home. And things haven't probably changed very much at home. In fact, there may be some things that happen. When I say at home, I don't necessarily mean literally your home. It could be that, but it could be your home church or your community or your set of friends. There may have been things going on while you've been here that you haven't caught up on yet, and you're about to find yourself in a whirlwind. So if you don't need this passage tonight, you will need it. You're going to need it throughout your Christian life. I need it throughout my life. And that's perhaps why it's one of the most beloved passages in all of Scripture is Psalm 23. And we're going to look just at a few phrases from this passage. And again, I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. The language is a little different than what we memorized growing up, and I think that helps to make some of these lines fresh to us. So here's how it reads. I'm going to read just the first 2.5 verses. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. Okay, let me just stop there. I have what I need. We are used to I shall not want. Nothing wrong with that translation, but this one says, I have what I need. That is, what I have is all that I need, and what I have is a shepherd. So therefore, I will be content with what I have. I have what I need. Just say that phrase with me. I have what I need. Again, I have what I need. Do you believe that? Now, it's easy to believe it on day 3 of a getaway retreat. Oh, yes, I have what I need. We got people singing to us, people cooking meals for us, people cleaning up after us. They're going to clean up the mess, and I have what I need. But you get home, and you're the cook and the maid and the whatever else. Can you say it then? The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. Therefore, I will be content with what God has given me, with what I have. I have what I need. Well, that's a precious verse. That's not the one we're going to focus on tonight. Look at verse 2. He, speaking of the Lord, my shepherd, he lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And then verse 3, he renews my life. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. So here the shepherd takes his sheep, metaphorical for what our shepherd does for us, takes them to green pastures and still or quiet waters. Why? Because they need rest. They need refreshment. They need restoration. They need renewal. You see, before sheep can be productive, before they can provide wool and meat, they have to be healthy. They have to be mature. They have to be well-developed. But we tend to put productivity first. A number of years ago, a medical doctor named Richard Swenson wrote a book called The Overload Syndrome. I was reviewing some of this last night, and I thought this book is even more timely today than it was when he wrote it. He uses phrases in that book like chronic activity overload. You know what he's talking about? Of course you do. Unprecedented stress epidemic, he called it. He said most of America is in a hyper-stress environment. You think that was true back in 2014? That is so much more true today. The overload syndrome. So here's how we kind of read that passage or how we live that passage. The Lord is my shepherd. He gives me lots of work to do. He gives me a family to care for. He gives me others' needs to be met. He gives me a class to teach. He gives me work to do at my church or in the ministry. He uses me to win other people to Jesus. He makes me a good wife, a good mom. He helps me get my work done. Come up for breath. The Lord is my shepherd. I produce. This passage says, no, not first. First, he lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet or still waters. Let me tell you, I put this passage into practice literally today. The CSB is the only translation I've seen that says, instead of he makes me to lie down in green pastures, it says he lets me lie down in green pastures. To lie down, it's just like to stretch out. We had a recording session this morning. I was really tired this afternoon. I've had a couple of really late nights. And I'm thinking, the Lord lets me lie down. So I took a nap. A long one. A good one. Thank you, Lord, for letting me lie down. Now, it can be a literal nap, but there are other green pastures the Lord leads us to. Why does he let us lie down in green pastures? Why does he lead us beside quiet or still waters? To get food, to get drink, to get nourishment, to get refreshment, to get rest, and to get restoration. Many of you have had children. You may have nursed little ones. A nursing mama has to be well nourished herself before she can impart nourishment to her baby. Some of us are spiritually malnourished. Or we go through seasons where we're spiritually malnourished, and yet we're trying to be productive, trying to meet everyone else's needs. But because we're not well nourished ourselves, we end up burning out, falling apart. I'm going on 4 hours of sleep a night. I'm burnt out. People who work with this ministry. And this is something we need to help each other recalibrate. Ministry is work. It is hard work. There are times when you will be exhausted and depleted. The Lord Jesus knew what it was to be tired. But we need to make sure we're getting back to places where we can get our souls nourished, replenished, and restored. The problem is people are impressed by busyness. They're impressed by hurry. Sometimes we're impressed by ourselves when we're uber busy. How many activities we're involved in, how much we get done. In fact, Swenson, in his book, The Overload Syndrome, has a chapter called Hurry and Fatigue. And here's just a paragraph from that chapter. He says, even our sentences are peppered with such words as time crunch, fast food, rush hour, frequent flyer, expressway, overnight delivery, and rapid transit. You get exhausted just listening to those things. The products and services we use further attest to our hurry, he says. We send packages by Federal Express, use a long-distance company called Sprint, manage our personal finances on Quicken, schedule our appointments on a day runner, diet with SlimFast, and swim in trunks made by Speedo. We are plagued by this hurry sickness. We live in a nanosecond culture, wheezing and worn out. Americans are, if anything, exhausted. We are a nation of the hardwired and dog tired. Now, for some of us, it sounds maybe a little bit lazy or a little bit unproductive to talk about lying down in green pastures, hanging out by still waters. Like, there's work to do, right? There are things to be done. But I want to remind us that hurry is the enemy of spiritual intimacy. As you read through the Gospels, one of the things that impresses me about Jesus is that he never seemed to be in a hurry. It's not that he wasn't doing a lot, but we never read about him running. We do read about him walking. We read about him sitting at the well to teach. We read about him reclining at meals, even sleeping in the boat. But we don't read about him running. He was purposeful. He was tired at times. That's why he was asleep in the boat. That's why he was sitting at the well at lunchtime. He was tired from the journey. No sin in being tired. But we don't see a hurried Jesus. Hurry is not conducive to godliness, to relationships, to a healthy marriage, to spiritual growth. Godliness and intimacy are not cultivated on the run. They require time, lingering, meditation, focused attention. Remember that old-time hymn? I was thinking about it as I was going through these notes last night. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Now, sheep don't know when they need to rest. And that's why the Good Shepherd leads them to green pastures and to still waters. And as some translations say, makes them lie down. It's time to rest. He shows them when they need to. Jesus' disciples, Jesus chose 12. Mark 3 tells us. First, why? What were they supposed to do? He didn't send them out first. It says he chose 12 that they might be with him. And then that he might send them out to minister to others. That's why I'm so glad, Angela, Monica, that you started this week with a time with Alice in prayer, waiting on the Lord, seeking the Lord. Did you find it was just good to stop? Be still. I mean, it can be hard. When your pulse is just constantly racing, Our phones have not helped this, because there's so much we do now on our phones. So that wasn't even in my notes. Thank you for that illustration. You see, before we can be fruitful and pour into others' lives, we have to feed on Christ and drink of Him. And after we have poured into others' lives, we have to come back to Him to get replenished. And again, we see this example in the Gospels, Mark chapter 6, verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told Him all that they had done and taught. Jesus had sent them out on a missionary journey. They came back and He said to them, He didn't give them the next assignment. He said, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. How long? Till Jesus tells you it's time to go on. A while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. There's a pattern in that for us. Some of my greatest spiritual battles have come in what I call the battle after the battle. After times of being poured out in a recording session or writing a book or doing an event and public ministry. And that's why I need to come back and get replenished, get to green pastures, get to still waters. And that means saying no to some things that people don't understand why you can't do. Why can't you sign this book? Why can't you endorse this? Why can't you come and speak at that? And you get these requests because the more effective you are at ministry, the more God is using you in ministry, the more people want you to do stuff. But what they don't realize is if you don't take time to get your soul replenished, you're not going to be effective for anyone. It's in these quiet times, these quiet places, that we get replenished to be able to go back out and face needy crowds. Palestine, where Jesus walked and taught, is a barren desert land. It's not easy to find green pastures and still waters. But good shepherds knew how to find those. They went scouting. They found the green pastures. They found the still waters and then led the sheep to those places. You may have 5 kids, little ones. You may have teenagers. You may have many different demands and responsibilities. And it may be hard to find times of rest, still waters, waters of rest. Ask your good shepherd to lead you there, to find those places for you, to show you how to find those places. He lets me lie down in green pastures. That means to lie down, you have to be still. You have to stop moving. Now, I live a pretty quiet and still life. I spend most of my time, Robert and I both work out of our home. And so I'm sitting at my laptop for many long hours every day. And you could say, well, I'm being still, I'm being quiet. But I can have my mind racing 100 miles a minute all day long just from sitting at my laptop. If you were looking at me, you'd think, well, she's not racing. But there are texts coming, there are emails coming, there are jobs coming, there are things to be edited, there are things to be decided, there are things to connect with people on. So you can be sitting still physically but not have your mind and your heart be still. We need to stop, be still, linger, wait in the presence of the Lord, not hurry. That's one of the things I have loved about journaling through the Bible over the last few years. It's been a way for me to linger in God's Word. I'm writing, kind of teasing out the meaning of every paragraph in some books. What is this saying? What does it mean? What is it saying to me, to us? What is really lingering over it? And it has been so sweet, so filling. It's been my green pasture and my still water. Most of us today, the pace of just average people in our culture is that we're always on the run. We're eating on the run. We're eating on the fly. We're grabbing a meal. We're living our lives, so to speak, racing through fast food drive-thrus. But again, that's the enemy of spiritual intimacy. Richard Swenson says in his book, even the best crew can't fix a race car when it is going 200 miles per hour. Neither can our bodies perform needed repairs in the midst of a hyper-living lifestyle. Our spirits need this. Our souls need this. Our minds need this. Our emotions need this. And our bodies need the change of pace. Now, for you, the change of pace, or for me, the change of pace in terms of our bodies, may be that we need to get our bodies moving. That may be something that replenishes and renews. But if you're someone who's on the move all the time, it may be just staying home. And I think actually this pandemic for some of us has been, in some ways, a real gift. Because we didn't have to race around. We didn't have to run around. And I know for some who ended up homeschooling their kids at home and in ways that weren't planned and living on Zoom meetings, it's been a stressor. For us, it was actually kind of a gift because we didn't have to be moving so fast and so hard, and yet we could be getting replenished, but we could still be serving and blessing others. In each season, we need to figure out, how do we do that? What does that look like for us? You can't get the needed rest and the refreshing on the run or in an occasional few minutes snatched here and there, like open my Bible, read a psalm for the day, read a proverb of the day, and I'm dashing off. We've all had seasons like that. I have. But you can't sustain your walk with God. You can't sustain fruitful ministry. You can't sustain healthy relationships in your family or in your church or in your workplace if you're doing that kind of hurried relationship with God. Be still. And know that I am God. Psalm 46, verse 10. And we need downtime, not just once, you know, I get a sabbatical every 15 years, not just once or occasionally or after you've cratered, but regularly, before you crater. We need these habits, these rhythms in our lives. So don't wait until you're falling apart, body, soul, and spirit, to get to these green pastures and these still waters. We need to be preventative in finding these green pastures. He leads me. He makes me lie down. This is not a one-time thing. This is a way of life. Doesn't mean that's all we do, but it means there's a regular recurring rhythm and pattern in our lives of getting replenished. And there are different ways to do that in different seasons. God gave in the Old Testament his people the gift of the Sabbath. One day a week, 6 days work, one day don't work. And God said, I will provide for you enough in the 6 days that you won't have to work on the seventh day. But he said, if you insist on working all those days, you're going to find that you don't have enough. God will make enough for us if we take those times. And for the Old Testament believers, and I think there's still a New Testament principle here, the New Testament application is Christ is our Sabbath rest. So we don't have to be Old Testament law about this, but there's something very healthy and beautiful about that gift of the Sabbath that God gave. This is not something you have to do. This is something you get to do.
Wow. Isn't that an encouraging perspective? Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth has been helping us see that our good shepherd has our best interest in mind when he lets us lie down in green pastures, just like it says in Psalm 23. Nancy will conclude her message tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. You know, she just mentioned that Jesus is our ultimate Sabbath rest. Time with him, well, like Psalm 23 says, it restores our souls. Are you looking for rest today? I have the perfect resource for you. You see, as our thanks for a gift of any amount right now, we'd like to send you A Place of Quiet Rest, the 25th anniversary edition. Of course, it's written by Nancy DeMoss Walgamuth. For 25 years, this book has been helping women prioritize intentional time with the Lord, and it's helped them cultivate quiet hearts. It could help you too. To donate and request your copy, visit reviveourhearts.com or call us at 1-800-569-5959. At the very beginning of today's episode, you heard from Heather, a member of our Revive Partner team. Now, if you love the ministry work Revive Our Hearts is doing and you'd like to partner with us financially too, you can visit reviveourhearts.com/donate and join the team. We offer some special benefits to our Revive partners, so be sure to check those out on the website. Do you ever feel like you're drooping? Maybe you need some reviving. Well, Nancy will be back tomorrow to talk about how our great shepherd renews us. I think it'll be a refreshing reminder. Join us right here tomorrow for Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom fullness and fruitfulness in Christ.